Welcome to the Here's Hope Church Sermon Podcast. It's our pleasure to share God's Word with you and to help you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save us and make us new. If you don't already have a church home, we'd love to have you join us this weekend at Here's Hope Church in Kokomo, Indiana. Worship services are on Saturday night starting at 5 or Sunday mornings beginning at 10. For more information, visit us online at myhopekokomo.org. And now, if you have your Bible ready, it's time for today's message.
Good morning. In Isaiah 66, the Bible tells us, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where then is a house that you could build for me? Where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you declare it to be, and we recognize it, that you are the creator of all things, God, and that all things belong to you, including us in this world that we live in. But God, as we see your holiness, Lord, we are humbled. We understand that we fall short, Lord. We understand that the sin and corruption that has come upon the world was because of humanity's sin, our sin, God. But we also know from your word that you are a God who redeems, you are a God who restores, who reconciles, who loves us, who has made a way for relationship with us, Lord, through the cross, and that you've declared us to be not only your redeemed creation, God, but to be your children in Christ Jesus. And Father, your word tells us that you have declared us to be, and you are making us into messengers of reconciliation, messengers of peace with God. That those who come to you through faith in Jesus Christ, through faith in what he has done on the cross, can be your children, God. That you actually declare that you will glorify yourself through us, Father, and that you will be with us. That your spirit will abide in us, Father. That you will give us a delight in you, a satisfaction in you, God, that brings you glory. And that you will continue to make us more like our Savior, more like your Son, as we follow you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Here about a week ago, I was volunteering along with a whole lot of people at the rescue mission. They had a big fundraiser called Walk a Mile. Have you guys ever, anybody participated in that or walked? Or it's a neat fundraiser. It's a great cause, of course, but it's just a lot of fun. There's just a lot of activity and joyful people there. And I made new friends, saw some old friends, and it's just a cool time. Dottie Behealer's daughter, Stacy, works for the mission, and so she had reached out by email and just said, "Hey, we could use a few more volunteers." And so I went, and I took Kim and I's oldest son, Cole. He went with me, and we had a great time. While we were there, there was a young man that I was serving next to as we volunteered, and we were there quite a few hours, so I got to talk to him a lot. And I'm going to just call him Tommy. That's not his name, but I want to keep him anonymous this morning. But I had a good conversation with Tommy. He's outgoing. I'm usually not too bashful. So we talked about a lot of things. We talked about his life. He's got a girlfriend. He's got some children. Got a good job here in Kokomo. We talked about his struggles in his life. Hopefully most of them in the past now for him. Talked about my struggles, my life. Jobs and families and things that guys talk about. But after a while, I like to bring the conversation to Jesus, so I did. And I just threw it out there. I just said, Tommy, tell me about Jesus Christ. What do you know about Jesus? What do you think about him? And he said, well, I think that if a person reads the Bible and if a person follows teachings of Jesus, your life's going to be better. He's pretty wise and very moral, and it's good to follow what Jesus says in the Bible. And he communicated respect, which I think was very sincere. But what I was hearing from Tommy is what we hear from a lot of people, which is that Jesus is a good moral teacher. And that you can have a better life when you listen to Jesus. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, what's Tommy really saying here? I think what he's saying is that by better life, he's saying your life is going to be more harmonious, that there's going to be less chaos, less stress, maybe more peace and blessing and circumstances, really. It's kind of what he's talking about, that your circumstances are going to be better, more pleasant, if you just follow the teachings of Jesus. Well, it's not a bad answer. You know, that Jesus does bring blessing into our lives, and our lives are so much better for following Jesus, and it's a really good idea to listen to everything Jesus says and to learn from that. But I tried to help Tommy to understand that Jesus came for something more than that. As wonderful as that is, Jesus came not to clean up our lives and make our lives better. Jesus came to make us new. That we would be different because of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Jesus said in John 3:3, he's speaking with Nicodemus. And he shocks Nicodemus with this statement. He says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Unless they're born from above. Unless they're born of the Spirit of God. This is really at the heart of what the Lord's teaching us in the Beatitudes as he talks about peacemaking, and we're going to see that today. Rabbi Zacharias, a great Bible teacher and scholar, he summed this up really well, I think. He said, Christ did not come to make bad men good, but to make dead men live. So we're saying again, Christ did not come to make bad men good, but to make dead men live. And I think that gets to the heart of our problem, because our problem isn't just that we're messy and need cleaned up or our lives could be enhanced and better somehow. Our problem is, the Bible tells us, that we are dead in our trespasses, in our sins. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to give a remedy, to be the remedy for our problem of sin and death. That's the good news. That's the good news, that because God loves us, as Brad says so well this morning, God loves us so much. He wasn't going to let us go without that opportunity of new life, that opportunity of reconciliation, to have a relationship with our Father. And so he sent his Son. He paid a high price that we could experience his grace and forgiveness and love, that we could be reconciled to him. I thought about that this week as I prepared for this message, and you know, the Bible says we have to be born again. Why is that? Why do we have to be born again? Why can't God just say, I've poured out my wrath upon my son on the cross. The price has been paid. You're all forgiven. Amnesty for the whole human race. We're good. Why couldn't he just declare that? Why couldn't Jesus just be a good moral teacher that tells us, hey, you can have forgiveness and just believe? I think this is something that not only non-believers struggle with, there's a lot of professing Christians that struggle with this idea that maybe salvation, maybe peace with God, maybe all it is thinking the right things. If I just believe the right things about Jesus, that he came to save the world, if I just believe these right things, I'll have a better life. Things are going to go more smoothly for me in this life. And you know what? There's amnesty now. God loves me as I am, and there's amnesty for me, so I can just continue unchanged. Because I'm covered, right? I said the prayer. I believe the right things. But they fail to recognize Jesus came to take those who were spiritually dead in trespasses and sins and give them life. John 10:10, I have come that they may have life. That they may have life. We're nearing the completion of this series in the Beatitudes. These declarations of blessing from God. These declarations of taking steps into being who he declares us to be as citizens of his kingdom, of those who belong to King Jesus, those who are experiencing what it means more and more to walk in the joy of the Lord, those that God says are blessed. And each of these Beatitudes, God is providing clarity increasingly of who Christ is and the beauty of the Lord and helping us to see who he declares us to be more clearly, who he's actually making us into, what he expects us to look like, what our salvation's about. And as we go through these Beatitudes, I'm hoping in my prayer through all of them for myself and for you, and certainly in this message, is to understand that the belief that you can say a prayer and have some general concept that Jesus was a real historical figure and a great teacher, and that somehow you can just, I've got amnesty, I can just remain unchanged. That's not true. That isn't true. Jesus came to save us, but not to leave us unchanged, that we would have life in us, which looks very different than death. It is so clear in these Beatitudes that Jesus came not only to give us this eternal life, but this eternal life, it gives us a new heart. We have new desires. We have new attitudes. We have new affections that are centered on him and not ourselves. Increasingly, we're not perfect. But this is the end game here. This is what he's bringing about in us, that we are to be different. And again, we're not perfected yet, but we are different than those who don't believe. We're different from those who don't have life, who aren't born again. Matthew 5. Jesus is speaking of the blessed, those who were saved. It begins with this recognition that you are poor in spirit. It begins with this recognition, this aha moment brought on by the Holy Spirit, that you're not all that. And in light of who he is, you're not even that. I mean, you begin to understand the majesty of God, the holiness of God, the beauty and the power of God. And you begin to mourn for your sin. But then the Holy Spirit is working in you and doing a work of a life-giving work in you. And you begin to understand that, you know what? The Father loves me. He cares for me despite whatever sin, whatever mess. That's part of the old life. I've got a new life in Christ, and so He's working out something in me and in my life. I don't have to go through my life any longer with my hands on the steering wheel trying to control everything and get the outcomes I want, because God's got a plan that He's working on in my life. I get to be meek. I don't have to be a jerk and demand all my rights and try to manipulate situations or people. I can get my hands off the wheel and trust the Holy Spirit is working out a plan in my life, that He's working on my behalf in such an irresistible, perfect way that I don't have to strive and struggle day after day for my will to be done. I'm just crying out for His will to be done. And I learned a humility and a gentleness in that from the Lord. And He's changing my desires. Currently, He's changing my desires. And I'm falling in love with His righteousness. And I want that more and more. More of Him. Less of me. And He's doing this work in us. He's doing this work of mercy, where sacrificially, when wrongs are done, this mercy that He has toward me, because I'm wronging Him sometimes, I'm falling short where I sin, and His mercy is always there. He's always faithful to forgive. But He lavishes so much mercy and grace and love upon me that it's overflowing into the lives of other people. And I can't hold grudges. I can't hold back forgiveness. We're becoming merciful, aren't we? Isn't that wonderful? And more the goal, the desire of our hearts is just to know Him more. So that's where we are in the Beatitudes. Where do we go from there? What's next? You know, God has given us this life where there used to be death. He's given us this righteousness in Him where sin used to abound. His grace is abounding more now. What now? Verse 9, here in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. For they will be called children of God. What does it mean? What does it mean to be a peacemaker? Does it mean that I'm just going to try to get along with people now? Before, I didn't really care. Now I'm a Christian and people know it, so I've got to try to get along with people, and they're going to call me out if I'm a jerk. So, you know, the Bible says a lot about peace. Every book in the New Testament talks about peace, but not peacemaker. There's only a couple places, actually, in the New Testament that have any reference to this specifically. And peace is, it's a similar origin to this word, so certainly there's some common ground there. Jesus is declaring us peacemakers. What does that mean? It doesn't mean just to behave in a peaceable way. It doesn't mean just to live peaceably with all men. That's certainly a related topic, but it's not the same. There's only one other place in the New Testament where there's a very similar word, a synonym with this, for peacemaker, and that's found in Colossians 1, verse 20. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Colossians 1, verse 20. The word here in the Greek Irena oios is found here in Colossians 1:20 and in the Beatitudes. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, to dwell in Jesus Christ. And in him, in the Son of God, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, reconciling all things to himself by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Making peace, when Jesus declares us to be peacemakers, it's not just about getting along with people. Making peace means reconciling, the establishing of relationship through the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. Peacemakers, his children, us, peacemakers are the ones with the same motivation that he has, which is love. That out of love are sharing the truth, are proclaiming this, that God's terms for reconciliation with him, it's through the blood of Christ. It's the only way. And Jesus tells us again in John 3:3 what that entails. You must be born again. You must be born again. One of our takeaways this morning, one of our big ideas, the first one, peacemaking. We need to understand this because this is for those who are citizens of his kingdom. This is for us. Peacemaking is reconciling to God. It's not just going with the flow and getting along with people. It's being reconciled to God. Why do we have to be reconciled? I mean, why is that even necessary? I mean, is God far away somewhere and he's keeping his distance and he's giving us the silent treatment because we've been bad kids and he's angry with us? No. No. Apart from this peace, apart from this reconciliation with God, we have no life in us. We have no ability to be in relationship to him at all. The Bible says that we are spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. We have to be made alive. God is not only holy and completely irreconcilable with sin, but also with death. He is the author of life. He's the giver and sustainer of life, and he doesn't hang out with death. So if we're going to have a relationship with him, we've not only got to get cleaned up, we've got to be made alive through the indwelling Holy Spirit. You know, think of a computer with all kinds of viruses. You know, if God was a programmer and you've got all kinds of malware and all this nasty stuff, and he's like, no, this is no good. I've created you to be clean and pure, and he wipes all that off our drive, but we also have a problem that because of all that, our power was wiped out. We had no life in us. And so we have to receive the Holy Spirit for that power to be plugged back in so that we have life and we can relate to him. Our son Cole came over about a week or so ago, and I was kind of surprised when he walked in and said, forgive me, Kim, for outing us this way, said, your house stinks. Now, I didn't know what he was talking about, because that probably was, whatever the smell was, I was used to it, but I had no clue. But evidently, there was something in the trash, and we do periodically clean out the fridge, and there's some old meat or something that ends up in there. Usually Kim tips me off if there's something that needs to go out. She'll let me know the trash really stinks. The reasons that my wife and bad smells from the trash are not reconcilable, okay? Yes, amen, amen. It has to get out of where we live, right? Because it doesn't belong. That's how death is with God. It has no place. The smell of death has no place with the Lord. And if He's going to have a relationship, which is what He wants with us, He's got to give us spiritual life. Ephesians 2, if you'd like to turn there in your Bible, starting in verse 1. God tells us through the Apostle Paul, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also," this was us all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature, and that's important, by our nature, we were deserving of wrath. It wasn't just bad deeds. It was that we were sinners. We were the walking dead. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Praise God. Peacemaking involves new life. It's not just being cleaned up. It's not just being forgiven. It involves life. Life. Certainly forgiveness is part of our salvation, but you must be born again. It's not just the old you, the old corpse with a new set of clothes and a new set of rules to live by. We're new. We are a new creation. In John 3, verses 5 and 6, Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit of God gives birth, the language of life, to spirit." A very scary thought for any pastor I know, including me, would be that there would be people who would think that attending church on a regular basis means you're born again. It may, but maybe not. That scripture memory is the same thing as new birth. It's not. It's wonderful, but it's not new birth. That having a title in the church means that you have new birth. It doesn't necessarily mean that. Jesus said, "You must be born again. You must be born again." And He declares that for those who put trust in Him. There was a Roman philosopher, Seneca, and he was writing to a friend of his, Lucullus. This is true events, that Seneca's stepdaughter became blind very suddenly, very unexpectedly. She lost her sight, and Seneca was writing to his friend, and this is what he wrote. He said, "What I'm about to tell you will be difficult for you to believe, but it's true. We cannot make her understand that she's become blind and that no change in her environment will help her. She insists that her nurse take her to a house that's not dark. It seems to me," he continued writing, "that what has happened to her has happened to all of us. No one of us realizes that he's miserable and vengeful. We need to understand what we need is not just a brighter place to live. We were blind in our sin and we need sight. We were dead in our sin and we need life. We have to help other people understand this. We've got to help Tommy at the mission understand this. He doesn't need morality, as wonderful as that is. He doesn't need religion, even. He needs life in Jesus Christ. He needs to be born again. People need to be born again. They need to receive Christ and have new life in him. In Titus 3, verse 5 through 7, the Bible says, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we will become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. God loves you. God loves all those folks out there who don't know him yet. And he has paid such a price to have a relationship with each one. But if you love somebody, the Bible says he loved us while we were yet sinners, while we were separated from him, when we were dead, he loved us. If you love somebody that's dead, you don't just clean up the corpse and say, now I can really love you. You give them life. That's the offer of salvation. That's the good news of reconciliation, is that we can be born again. We can have life, and now we can have relationship with him. Second Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. God wants to reconcile and give life more than any of us even want to receive it. That's how awesome he is. He wants reconciliation and relationship so much that his son went to a cross so peacemaking could happen, to make it possible, that through his death, through faith in him, that we could have life in his spirit. But we need to understand this. Peacemaking, it's not appeasement. It isn't amnesty. It's not. God is not just saying, here's a general truth that my son died, you're all forgiven. Peacemaking and appeasement are not synonyms at all. God doesn't compromise with sin, ever. He doesn't. He forgives, but he doesn't compromise. If a person is being dishonest with the Lord, if a person is self-justifying their sin, instead of just being honest with the Lord and saying, God, forgive me and cleanse me and set me free, then they're still in rebellion. And that's very serious. The only way to come to terms with God, to have this peace with God, the only way to do it is on the terms that he has established, and that's surrender. You have to acknowledge that he is God and that you are not. And you can't make up your own terms. You have got to surrender to him. You've got to, if you want peacemaking, you've got to say, Lord, the war is over on my part. I'm done fighting against you. I'm switching sides. In Leviticus 10, Moses' brother Aaron, he and his sons are in charge of this incense offering to the Lord. And Aaron's two oldest sons approach the Lord in a way that is not according to what God has commanded. Starting in verse 1, the Bible says, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. The Lord was meticulous in his commands. I think that there was 100 things they did right. There was a lot going on here that God required. And they did one thing frivolously. They didn't esteem God as holy. They didn't esteem him as God. They approached him in a haphazard way. They just thought, you know what? I'm kind of mostly following his rules, and I can just... They were making up their own terms now. I can approach God mostly how he says, but, you know, he's loving. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses then said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke of when he said, among those who approach me, and he is rich in mercy and love and grace, but I don't think this has changed. Among those who approach me, I will be proved holy. His character hasn't changed. He's still holy. I will be proved holy. In the sight of all people, I will be honored. His love for us, his grace, is far more than we can imagine. But he's not a doting grandfather who just ignores sin. Even though he loves us, he's not going to ignore sin. He's not going to compromise his character. Actually, what the Bible says is that those he loves, he corrects and reproves for our good. For our good. He's not going to stop being God just to keep us from feeling bad about our sin. There are times with my granddaughter Arwen that she may do something that's acting up a little and she's not supposed to do it, and I'm a very imperfect grandfather, I'm sure. And probably spoil her a bit, as some of you might do with your grandkids. And overlook some things that, for her interest, and sometimes we need just grace. Absolutely. And God does. Abundantly, daily, show grace. But he doesn't stop being God. He's still holy. And even though we're imperfect, we need to remember that. We need to approach him with reverence and awe for who he is. Our sin and our sin nature have to be dealt with. You know, God is not going to say, you know what, you've said a prayer and you heard about Jesus and some Bible stories and you kind of believe in general that, you know, Jesus came for sinners and you know what, I'm just kind of a doting grandfather and you're fine, don't feel bad. You just do what you're doing. You have the life, keep running for me and skipping down the road holding the devil's hand, and you just do whatever you want to do and I just love you. He's not going to do that. For our good, he's not going to do that. The Bible's full of examples of people who compromise with sin. And it never goes well, ever. There's never an example where compromising goes well. What God is after, and we just need to lay hold of what he's declared. What God is after through the shed blood of Christ is not only that we're free from sin and forgiven, but that we're new, that we walk in newness of life. Our last kind of takeaway for today, our last big idea, is that peacemaking is what God's children do. Peacemaking is what God's children do. John Piper had a good quote on this. He said, if our Father is a peacemaker, then his children will be peacemakers too. It's very true. If our Father is a peacemaker, then his children will be peacemakers too. Again, verse 9 here, Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. God expects us. He declares we're peacemakers. So he's saying, hey, live out the truth that I'm speaking here. This is who you are in me. He expects his children to lovingly and truthfully, confidently share the message of peace, the message of reconciliation with God, with people, that through the shed blood of Christ, we can have a relationship with God and we can have new life. One of the ways that the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we belong to God and that we are born again is that our desires are changing, that it starts to matter whether the people around us are saved or not, whether they've heard this message, this good news about Jesus, that it becomes a burden in our hearts if they haven't, and we start praying for salvation for people. Whether it's neighbors or coworkers or family members, that we're crying out to God, God, please, by your Spirit, speak to them. And Lord, if you would send me, let me tell them about Jesus. It becomes important to us. Because his Spirit is in us, he leads us into peacemaking. He leads us into opportunities. And his Spirit in us assures us that we are his children and that he wants those around us to also be his children. And we need to speak up lovingly and truthfully. Romans 8:14 says, for as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We are peacemakers. God has declared it. We're his children. We're the ones who introduce him and this offer of peace with God to other people. And he's given us a lot of motivation to do it. Any Western movie fans here other than me? Anybody else watch Westerns? Yeah. I get it from my dad. He loved Westerns. The Hanging Tree was on the other night with Gary Cooper. Did anybody see? You've seen it? Wanda's seen it? Yeah, both Wandas have seen it. Good movie. Yeah. No offense to Gary Cooper, but Jimmy Stewart's always my favorite. So, whether it's a Western or not. Gary Cooper's character in this movie, he's a doctor. And there's a young man who gets shot. And Gary Cooper's character, this doctor, gets the bullet out of this guy and saves his life. Do you remember? Yeah. He saves this man's life, and this young man asks him, he says, Doctor, you have saved my life. What can I do for you? And Gary Cooper's character said, well, you know, I've always wanted an assistant. So why don't you assist me? I'm going to teach you what to do. You can be my assistant. And the young man asked him, he said, Doctor, how long would you like me to help? And Gary Cooper replies, for the rest of your life. Because that's how long you would have been dead if I hadn't saved you. God's told us what he wants us to do for the rest of our lives. It's part of the reason we're still here. He saved us so that we could cooperate with him in him saving others. All we have to do is yield to him. Yield to his purposes, his will, his desires. He wants to reconcile people through us, through sharing the good news, people seeing his presence in us, in our lives. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17 through 21. Again, we're a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Praise God. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. It's not just a cleaned up version of the old life. We've got a mission now. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him, Jesus Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's amazing. Again, Colossians 1, verse 19 and 20. This is part of the message that we share with people, this message of peace with God. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. It's a good starting point in conversations with guys like Tommy. He's so much more than just a good teacher. The fullness of God in Jesus Christ. And through him, through Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So as we come to the end of this sermon this morning, I would just ask you to think on this for a minute. It's easy in an environment when you're around God's people, you're around church, you're around hearing God's word. It's easy to accept it on a general term, to think, you know what, I can believe that Jesus died for sinners. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that Jesus died for the whole world, right? God so loved the world. Jesus died for everybody. And that's true, but God invites us to receive it personally, to respond personally, to believe this for me, a sinner, that Jesus died not for everybody else necessarily, but right now, God, make it real for me. Jesus died for my sins so that I could have life. If you were here this morning and you don't have relationship with Jesus through his blood shed for you on the cross, I want to invite you to pray something like this. If you can pray this sincerely from your heart, I invite you to pray this with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for speaking to my heart this morning through your word. Thank you for helping me to understand that you love me and want a relationship with me. Thank you, Lord, for going to the cross in my place and dying for me so that I could have a relationship with God, not just everybody else, not just the church, but me. That I could have a relationship with you. So Lord Jesus, I confess my need for you. I confess my need to receive forgiveness for my sins and to be made alive by your Spirit, God. And I'm asking and believing for that right now, Lord, that you have paid the price, that by your blood I am clean. And by your Spirit, I have life. Jesus, I don't know what it looks like walking that out, but I pray that you would show me the next steps with you, whatever that is. Make me into who you declare me to be as one of your children today. Make me into somebody who is a peacemaker and tells other people about you. And Lord Jesus, do it for your glory. It's in your name I ask it. Amen. For those who are here today who know that you know Christ, you know that you are born again, I want to invite you to pray this with me. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, help me to walk out what you have declared about me, that I'm a peacemaker. As your child, God, make me bold, make me loving. Help me, God, not to shrink back from being honest with people about my own sin and about their sin and the consequences of that, God, but help me to be a truth teller out of love to let people know that you have set the terms for peace because you love them. But God, help me not to be a person who would take the easy road of appeasement with sin in my own life and just gloss over it, or even in my conversations with others, Lord. God, I know from your word that you are holy and that hasn't changed. So even as I marvel at your grace and marvel at your forgiveness and the magnitude that your grace abounds so much greater than my sin, God, help me not to minimize sin. Help me not to sugarcoat the gospel, Lord, when I share it with other people that they do need to turn away from sin and death if they're going to turn towards salvation and life. They do need to surrender. The rebellion has to stop. So God, help me to present that clearly. Give me the words, Lord, as I speak to others today about Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.